This is a story about a mother. A story about a mother who is a Gentile, who is an outsider, who does not really belong in the same place as Jesus. But she is a mother who, above everything else, has a daughter who is suffering and who is hurting and will do absolutely anything she can to help her daughter. You know that feeling. Maybe not knowing that feeling as a mother, but you know that feeling when someone is desperate for help. Maybe you're a mom and you sit beside your child when they are hurting, or a dad sitting beside their child, and you would do anything to take the pain away from them. You would take it on yourself if you could, so that they did not have to experience it. It's the prayers that you pray in the hospital room for someone who's dependent on you. It's the long sleepless nights of not knowing what comes next. Maybe your spouse receives the diagnosis and you would do anything to take it from them. All of us have experienced that on some level or another, where we want so badly to take the pain away, but we can't. We feel helpless. We feel hopeless. And this story starts off with this simple statement that Jesus left the place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. You maybe have heard of that, that region before, Tyre and Sidon. But it's Jesus making sure you understand, or in this case, Mark making sure you understand, Jesus is crossing boundaries that he should not be crossing according to their traditions, according to their laws. Jesus is leaving the place that he belongs and that he's welcomed, the place that he's supposed to be, to go be with the outsiders. He's leaving Judea. He's leaving Galilee and going to Tyre. And again, this is not just a geography lesson. This is a theology lesson. This is Jesus going to the place where he should not be to do ministry with people that he should not be with. He's crossing those boundaries. And he crosses those boundaries, and here in the place that he should not be, you have an outsider who comes to find him, willing to go to some really uncomfortable places to be with a Jewish rabbi, because she believed that he had the power to make her little girl well, and is willing to do anything to make sure. And this story centers around a house with a table and a question of, is there room in the house for me? But she doesn't want to wait to hear the answer. Because regardless of if everyone else would welcome her, regardless of whether or not there is room, she does not care. She barges in. and makes herself at home. Because she needed to get her daughter in front of Jesus. And it centers around a metaphor. And a metaphor, if you don't know, is just simply using one thing to explain something else on the simplest level. Jesus comes and he says, "I am the bread of life." Right? It's a metaphor. He's using something that we know to explain something else. And this story happens really in the form of a metaphor. You have this lady who walks in and she begs Jesus to drive out the impure spirit or the demon from her daughter. And Jesus' response, he says, first, let the children eat all they want. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Her reply is, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I don't know how many of you have dogs. We have dogs in the house. One of our dogs in the house is a lab. And if you know anything about labs, they like to eat. And whenever Ty, and Ty is about 100 pounds, he is a massive yellow lab, and he eats everything he... But when the refrigerator door opens, when the pantry door opens... It does not matter what he's doing. He could be dead asleep and he hears the doors open and he comes running into the kitchen. And he hovers right underneath you as you're cooking, as you're preparing food, as you're getting things ready. And he is dying for you to drop something. It does not matter what you drop. It could be kale, and he's going to eat it. And he is going to eat everything. This morning, I got up and I fed the dogs. We get up and feed them every morning at like 5. And if we aren't feeding them by 5, you start hearing, oh, oh, oh. It's our alarm clock. And so I went in and I fed Ty. And we have another little dog. He's a toy Bernedoodle. He's 15 pounds. He's a bully. He picks on Ty, which is really funny. But they went in to eat, and Coda, our little dog, left his bowl and came to see what I was doing. And the second he left, Ty decided it was time to finish Coda's food. And so he ate all of Coda's food along with his. But Ty loved, if I were to take the bread and I were to break it and there was a crumb that fell off, Ty's right there. And so Jesus says to this lady, and these words sound really, really, really harsh. And they probably should. But he says to this lady, it would not be right, again, this is a metaphor, it would not be right for me to take the bread that was meant for the children and toss it to the dogs. That wouldn't be right. You see, at the core of this story is a couple of questions. One, Jesus, will you heal my daughter? But the bigger question is there room at the table for me? Do I belong? You're a Jew, I'm a Gentile. You're an insider, I'm an outsider. Do I belong at your table? But I think what we find in the story is when mercy is in the house, desperate people will find the door. Jesus tries to keep everything a secret as he comes into this town and he goes into this house. And she hears that Jesus is there, and she leaves everything, running to the house just to get to the table. Just for the bread. And as I said, there's a metaphor, and everything represents something in the story. But Mark wants to see a bigger picture that's unfolding in his gospel. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus is with people in Israel, and he feeds the 5,000. The very next chapter, in chapter 7, you have the religious leaders arguing before a meal over cleanliness laws. And you have these religious leaders saying, well, your disciples can't be here because they haven't washed like they should. They're not really clean. And then the story that follows is a story of a lady who is an outsider, who does everything to get to the table, to get bread for her daughter. And then the next story that happens in chapter 8 is Jesus in Gentile territory, feeding 4,000. And it's almost like Mark says, hey, I'm just going to leave you a little trail to follow so you know where we're going. Because in this story, as Jesus says, first, let the children eat all they want. Jesus is not saying you don't ever get to eat. This is not exclusion. He's just simply telling them the order of the meal. Because first does not mean only. First does not mean only. It's that Jesus came first for Israel, so that Israel would receive the bread. But do you remember Genesis 12? Israel was never supposed to take the bread just for themselves. They would be blessed so that they could be a blessing. And so that they could bring food to the rest of the world. And so Jesus is saying, right now, I am here, but I'm here for the children of Israel. But it brings up this really important question. If Jesus is really here first for Israel, why is he here in Gentile territory with a lady who needs Jesus to heal? And I think the answer is just simply, he wants Israel to remember their vocation and that it does not end with them. You are not being blessed and cared for and fed so that everything will be great in your life and you won't have any worries and everything will be fine. You are being blessed so that you can be a blessing to the rest of the world. I am feeding you so that you know how to feed the world. And there is this trail of breadcrumbs as Jesus, the bread of life, begins to feed Israel first and then begins to move out into the nations. First, let the children eat all they want. Our verse this week is from Titus chapter 2. And it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to who? All people." That it wasn't just for you that God came to bless the world. He came so that you, being blessed, would bless others throughout this world. It's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This is not about exclusion. It's about order. And it's about divine vocation. The divine vocation for Israel to go into all the world and to feed the world. And so in this metaphor, you have a table, you have children, you have dogs, and you have bread. And the table in the metaphor is just simply belonging. Is there a seat at the table for me? Do I belong? Because a table in Scripture is always more than just a table. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of family. It's a place of sharing. It's a place of belonging. And it asks that simple question, do I belong? Is there a seat here for me? The children in this metaphor is Israel. The dogs are Gentiles, anyone who's not a part of Israel. And the bread is simply the blessing of the kingdom. And so he uses this metaphor just simply to say, I have not come yet for you. Because my purpose is to take care of Israel and feed them so that they can feed the rest of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone were to say that to me, I would think, okay, well, end of story. I guess I can go home because I'm not going to get help. But somehow in this story, she does not hear a door closed. In this story, she hears hope. She hears possibility. And she doesn't walk away saying, well, Jesus wants nothing to do with me. But she responds by simply saying, but yes, Lord. As kids are eating, they're going to drop some food. Can I get an amen? As the children are eating, there's going to be crumbs on the floor. There's going to be leftover pieces. And her response is so infused with faith. She says, then just give me the crumbs. I don't need the whole loaf. Just give me the crumbs. Because she understood that the crumbs from Jesus' table were more than enough mercy for her. Jesus, I understand you have come for Israel, but I just need a little bit of what you have to offer. And if you give me just a little, that will be enough. And Jesus' response is, wow, what great faith. What great faith. This lady is not saying, I need it all. She doesn't say, I deserve it. She doesn't say, I've earned a seat at the table. She doesn't even begin to say, I belong here. She says, I'm an outsider. But the crumbs that fall off your table are more than enough. Just give me the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs and my daughter will be healed. Just give me the crumbs and all of the mercy that I need will be given. Not because I'm good, not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it, not because I belong. But because your table is abundant. See, and you could say a crumb is not much. A crumb's pretty small. But when you sit at a table where the bread never runs out, crumbs will become a meal. When you sit at a table where the bread is endless, eventually those crumbs will fill you up. She argues not for her deserving a seat. She argues for God's abundance to be just shared. Because that will be more than enough. Sorry, Chuck, don't step on the bread when you get up here. That will be enough. Just give me the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs. That will be enough. And then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Because she believed God's goodness was greater than her brokenness. At a table that she did not belong at, she believed that God's goodness was greater than her brokenness. And then I want you to listen how the story ends. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. She comes home and finds her daughter resting. It does not end with this huge dramatic scene. It doesn't end with applause. It doesn't end with everyone coming to see what's happened. It ends very quietly. It ends with most people not knowing. As she returns to find her daughter resting. Just give me the crumbs. That will be enough. And people keep showing up at this table. The table that we are invited to eat at every single week. Because they believe that mercy is still served at this table. Right, our job as followers of Jesus is not to be the bread. Our job is to offer the bread to the world. A world that is just clamoring for the crumbs, that will do anything just for the crumbs. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus does not give us just the crumbs. Jesus gives us fully himself. He gives every ounce of his being to bless the world, to invite you, to invite me to the table. And I'm always worried when we preach these stories, because it's sometimes easy to say, well, if you have great faith, God will take care of every one of your needs. Because some of you have sat here and you have prayed these prayers and you have begged just for the crumbs and you have found healing. I've talked to two different people in the last month who had diagnoses. And they went in and under scans, the doctor said, we don't really know what happened. What we saw before is not there. But I've also talked to people who have prayed those same prayers and seen elders pray over and anoint with oil, and yet the story didn't turn out the way that we hoped. Some of you are still in a place where you're still praying. You're begging God for healing. Maybe begging God for healing the hurt that was left because of an empty seat now at a table. And like Mike said earlier, that makes Mother's Day so incredibly hard for so many. Because you're going to go eat after this, and there's going to be an empty seat at the table where they used to sit. And you can say, Jesus, just give me the crumbs, and that will be enough. But Jesus did not give just the crumbs. He came and said, this is my body broken for you. You don't just get the crumbs. I give you myself. As we head into a time of communion, we don't just share the crumbs. We get to share the bread of life, broken for the world.